Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, May 16th. Happy Saturday. Today we're reading Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 through 11, and Psalm 125. As I read Genesis 25, I was reminded that God uses messy families. In this passage, Abraham gets married again after Sarah dies. I'm thinking he's over 100 years old, but then he even has more children. And this passage talks about different concubines that Abraham had. And I can remember when I was a 20-something Christian really struggling with this. Like, how could God use people who were sinning in such a way? First of all, now I realize that it's level ground at the foot of the cross, and we all are wicked deep down. There are so many sinful parts of each of us, and God in His grace chooses to use flawed people. Also, I'm mindful that in many ancient Near Eastern cultures, polygamy and concubines were normal during this time, and sometimes it was about having more children and heirs or building alliances or increasing wealth. But we must remember that all the polygamy we see in Scripture causes jealousy and strife and rivalry and brokenness. And if we remember back to Genesis chapter 2, where God's design for marriage is laid out, He says, one man and one woman becoming one flesh. So even though Abraham and others in his culture got it way wrong, and we believe that polygamy is a sin, God also used him because of God's faithfulness and His promise that the child of promise would come from Abraham's line. Okay, here we go. Abraham had taken another wife, whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zerman, Joshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan were the Asherites, the Letushites, and the Leumites. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldah. All these were the descendants of Keturah. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. But while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai Roy. I want to mention two things of interest in this passage. First, Abraham was buried in that same field that he bought from Ephron when he wanted to bury Sarah. This is, like I said before, just one sign of the promise that the Lord was giving them the promised land. And then also, after Abraham dies, you notice it says in verse 11, God blessed his son Isaac. We know that Isaac is the son of promise and that God keeps his promises, even though it took a very long time and Abraham waited many years for Isaac to be born. God did exactly what he had said. And we see this in that little word, God blessed his son. So I guess it's four words. This idea of the covenant promise of blessing continuing on through the generations of Abraham. Our second passage is Psalm 125, which continues the songs of ascent. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together every day. This psalm is beautiful, reminding us that trusting God is what makes us steady. A few weeks back, and I don't even remember where I heard this, someone described prayer as an embrace. I'm imagining a big teddy bear hug where the Lord comes around us and embraces us in a hug. And I love thinking of prayer in that way. Surely there are many metaphors for what prayer is like, but this psalm reminds me of the nearness that the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore, just like someone who has a big bear hug surrounds you. Just want you to rest in that image right now. Also, verse 3 talks about how God will not allow the wicked to remain and to plot over us. And so I just ask, Lord, that that would be true in the lives of those who listen today, that you would not allow the righteous to use their hands for evil. And then finally, Lord, we pray that you would do good to those who find their goodness in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to have upright hearts and banish the evil from our hearts and from around us. As it says in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.